is happening, everybody? I'm Larry Roberts.
And I'm Sarah Lucy, and this is Branded, your comprehensive guide to creative branding.
And on this awesome episode of the podcast, I'm a little fired up, but I'm also excited because we have an amazing guest with us today. Kristen Chadwick is also a podcast producer, a podcast manager, and I think her website says she is your biggest champion. And she's here to join us today to talk about all things podcasting and branding and personal branding and content creation. And we're just going to have a really, really good time. So Kristen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Lara and Sarah. Lara and Sari.
These are celebrity couple names.
Yes, exactly. So hello, Larry and Sarah. It's so fun to be with you guys again and a pleasure to be here on Branded.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. This is a fun little reunion. A couple months ago, we sat on a panel together at eWomen Network Speakonomics, and that was a great way for us to get to know you and find out more about what you do. And we thought you had a lot of really great insights on finding your topic and the different seasons of your life and what you talk about during them. So it was really interesting to hear.
Thank you. Yeah, it was fun to get to know you guys in real life, because, you know, that's how it rolls in podcasting, where you're like, oh, you are a real human being.
Oh, I haven't met so many of my friends.
Right.
It's insane.
You know, it's funny because I've been a video game addict basically my whole life, but primarily a World of Warcraft addict for the last 20 years.
And we lost our audience.
But I have so many friends from that game, because you play with, you know, it's a massive multiplayer online game, and you play with other real human beings. And for years and years, so many of my quote unquote friends were just people in the game. And then I eventually got to meet quite a few of them IRL, as we call it in the gaming world, or in real life. And that just added a whole nother element to the relationship. And I found that in the podcast space, very similar. Mm-hmm. You know, we get to hang out online and we do podcasts together. And on these podcasts, we always talk about authenticity, but let's be honest, we still put on our podcast voice, and we probably still put on our podcast cadence when we're having these conversations, so that when we do meet in real life, we go, oh yeah, there's a little humanity in there.
See, I used to use a like podcast voice, or well, I don't know what voice it was, and you yelled at me for it, so I stopped.
Sarah, you have the most natural flow in the podcast realm. You just show up as you, and I love it. It's so real.
I know. I'm so jealous, because I try, and I still have to talk like this. I still have to be an announcer and still have to really put inflection on every word. I just want to talk, man. Why can't I just hang out and have a conversation?
Yes, so good. And that was like one of my very first lessons in working with a more celebrity host together as their producer, was learning how to make it more natural versus the podcast voice or broadcast voice. And anytime that anybody started talking into that realm of, well, hello, welcome, da, da, da. It was like, nope, start over.
I think it was PodFest like 2 years ago. Larry and I were there together, and we were like hiding for a few minutes from the crowds, because we just needed a minute. And he took off his hat, and his whole demeanor changed and his voice changed, like the way he spoke changed. And I just stared at him, because I'm like, you literally just like removed the persona. Like, you just took off the red hat guy. It was so insane. And then it was like, all right, time to go back downstairs. And it goes back on, and I'm the red hat guy again. It was so funny to see. It's not inauthentic necessarily to have those different personas, because it's just the pieces of our personality that come out in different environments. Mm-hmm. But it is really funny to see actively how they switch.
Yeah, it's super hard today, too, because, well, of course, I have to say this. I just came back from ABC here in Dallas, and I think it's my fourth appearance on there, the Good Morning Texas show. And it's funny, because even seasoned professionals like Jane McGarry, she's been on Good Morning Texas for quite some time, and she still has that delivery voice when we're there in front of the camera. But off to the side, she's just Jane McGarry. She's just having a conversation. We were chatting it up this morning. But as soon as we step in front of that camera, It's a totally different persona and a totally different presentation. It's super polished, backs are rigid, and we're delivering with a certain pronounced cadence. Mm-hmm. And I still fall into that cadence when I get in front of this camera right here, even though, I mean, it's in my home studio.
Yeah, I think it's necessary in some environments like television news, like it's expected, and you almost have to have that level of like professional demeanor. But podcasting is different. Podcasting is supposed to be just natural and authentic. I would be interested to see some of those like TV personalities go behind a podcast and see if they put on, like you, Kristen, you were just saying that they did put on that persona and you had to try to get them out of it. Like, I feel like all of them are going to do that because it's so ingrained in them.
Mm-hmm. I would be curious too, if the broadcast world, as far as like TV, if they could learn a thing or two of just be yourself. Like, you don't have to read at a certain cadence. Every news anchor has a certain cadence to their presentation of whatever the news is. And I'm curious if that would switch things a little bit in the news world. I mean, this is totally on a different playing field of our topic, but I am curious if that would like open up a new avenue of appreciating news from a personal level versus like a rigid, I'm just somebody who is a vessel for what the news is telling me to say right now.
I feel like that's tied to like with journalism and like PR. Like I've had to write press releases. I worked in PR for a while, and you cannot make a press release sound fun. You're not allowed to. It has to be very rigid. It is just, this is the information. You can't have any emotion, any opinion. You can't make it sound like you think this is a good thing, like nothing. It's just, this is the information, because journalism has to be objective. So there can't be any opinion in it. So I feel like maybe that broadcast, that's why you see that a little bit more. Because then if you look at the quote-unquote news shows that aren't journalism, things like the Colbert Report, the Daily Show, or like entertainment news, and they are actively not journalists because they are very subjective.
Yeah.
But they're still delivering news, but they're able to do it as themselves. And I feel like that journalism piece is probably kind of that trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I just went deep into my PR hole. I was ready.
Really? But it's awesome, you know, and it makes you wonder if we did see that in that arena, if maybe some of the confidence would be reinstilled with the news. Because in today's era, very rarely do we see people consuming the news like we grew up. You know, like you can bet at 5:30 in the evening, dad's going to turn on the news and that's the news source. But that's not the case anymore. We get our news from all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's delivered in a variety of different formats. And it's delivered with an alternate cadence, like Sarah was alluding to there. So I'm wondering if we saw more of that relaxed conversation, that more natural flow and conversational delivery of the news, if they wouldn't gain back some of the public trust.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably why people have switched over to things like podcasts and The Daily Show and things that are more entertaining, just because they are authentic, and authenticity builds trust.
It's like we are missing the heart of like humanity in news, which actually does tie into what we were going to talk about, which was connecting to the heart of your listener. And I think as we talk about the news piece, journalism versus podcasting or any other more personal narrative news, what the missing link is heart. Mm-hmm. Like, it is very robotic, objective. Like, you take out the humanness in it of like, oh, I should be reading this grieving as I talk about somebody was murdered downtown, or concern about children, or, you know, it's just robotic. And so I think that's exactly the power of podcasting and having that organic humanness is so powerful.
Yeah, having that high level EQ, you know, that's what I was talking about this morning on ABC. I'll plug that again. But that's what I was talking about, is how do we AI proof our children? And, you know, with all the developments in AI and content creation, that's the one thing that can't be replaced. is that high level EQ or that high level emotional intelligence, that high level of engagement with humanity and having that heart and delivering it from that perspective and being able to engage on a human level with a variety of people with very, very diverse backgrounds in extremely and very diverse settings. And having that emotional intelligence and that heart is really what's going to shape the future of not just our content creation, but even career paths going forward.
Yeah, I think we see that in so many industries, and it's why I personally don't think AI is going to be replacing people the way that people seem to think it is. And there's been AI technologies forever. They're just so much more rampant now. I know, Larry, you talk about this in your presentations that it was coined in like the 70s or something.
Actually, the 50s. I think it was 1956 when the term artificial intelligence was coined.
Yeah. Wow. So it's been like that forever, but you can't replace the human aspect. Like when I worked in finance, like you can get all of your financial planning done online by an algorithm in 2 minutes, but that algorithm doesn't understand like your journey and what you've been through and what means the most to you. And you can't replace that. So I don't know. I think it's not going to be people getting replaced by robots, it's going to be the mundane tasks getting replaced by robots and people being able to focus more on the people part, which isn't a bad thing, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely.
We have gotten very off topic. So
I'm curious though, Kristen, and let's get the focus back on you.
Yes.
I appreciate what's going on here because I think this is an amazing conversation. And we were even chatting. Oh, I see Profit First on your shelf up there. That's a great book. I highly recommend everybody read Profit First if you're a business owner. It'll change the way you manage your money. Yes. Nice little plug. And if you want to sponsor the show, by all means, and Sarah's pointing to her book as well. Open this
read
book.
That one too.
Yeah, read that one too. It's going to be amazing. But Kristen, you were talking about, especially from a podcast perspective, how when you have people that are starting their own shows, they get on there and they have that cadence. What are some of the techniques that you use with your clients to help them talk more conversationally, to help them remove that outer shell or that protective tone that we tend to use when we go on podcasts?
So there's a few techniques that depending on their personality. So if they're somebody who thrives off knowing the plan of the episode, then I will work with them on, all right, so here's how you could create an outline so you know where you're headed, what the takeaways are going to be. Like you guys talk about, you know, make sure you have takeaways for your people. And so with that, having some sort of structure that they can have freedom to look at that and feel at ease of, okay, I know where I'm going and I know the plan. And then there are people who maybe they need to write it all out and then they can press record. And I wouldn't necessarily recommend reading what every single word that you write, but making sure that you read over it and then they have that, okay, I know the direction I'm going now. And then there are people that in time, they can just press record and wing it and not have any notes in front of them and they are set. So that's like the first part. The second part is once they're comfortable on knowing the plan, then to really, really picture sitting in front of a friend or their ideally their ideal listener, who are they talking to? So if I'm sitting here imagining I'm hanging out with you two, which is natural in our conversation, but in a lot of episodes, it's just me behind the mic and there's nobody else in the room. So it's my job for myself to coach myself or to coach a podcaster who is doing a solo episode to really sit for a second and imagine, okay, if I was sitting down right now in real life with a coach that is about to launch a podcast, they are nervous about what they're bringing to the table. I go through all of my pain points and what their passions are. What are they feeling in life right now? I think that's really key to relaxing into the conversation because you meet them again on a human level because you're speaking heart to heart. So really just having that point of reference of, okay, let's sit down. Imagine our listener sitting across from us and how can we serve them if they were asking this specific question about their problem. So that would be my second thought. And then I think the third thing too is just practice, practice, practice. Get on as many podcasts, but also everyday stuff. Like I know for me, when I first started podcasting, I was really uncomfortable hearing my voice or even processing out loud. Mm. I am such an internal processor. And so to be able to practice, okay, I have to get this out of my head in a way that makes sense. So even on walks, I would get out my voice memo and be like, okay, I am walking around the block and I'm just going to start talking to myself. And even that, just practice, 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 practice in your car, on your mic, even working. Sometimes I'll put on my headphones, plug in my mic, and just talk to myself while I'm doing it. And it just gets you used to hearing your own voice.
See, even just sitting alone in my house, like doing that, I would feel embarrassed. That is the level to which I hate it. But we actually dealt with this very recently with one of our clients. Dr. Leo is going to be launching a podcast, Mind Body Marathon, shortly. And he was struggling with doing the trailer. And he's like, I feel like it's robotic. I can't get myself to like get into that place where I could just say it naturally. But when I just talk to my wife about it, mm-hmm. I feel like I say it the way I want to. So when he went to record his trailer one more time, I told him to have his wife stand behind the camera and have her literally have her there. So he is physically talking to her. And mm-hmm. even like she can ask him the questions that he wants to answer in the trailer. So it feels like a conversation. And then we just edit her out. And I haven't gotten the recordings yet. I'm excited to hear them. But I can just tell that they're going to be so much more natural because mm-hmm. it's just what he does every day. He's just having a conversation with his wife.
Yeah, that's so brilliant.
Thanks, I try.
It's quite brilliant, and I'm going to hear about that later. So that was brilliant. I'm brilliant. I really am. But now, you know, I've found it over the years that solo episodes are even harder than having guests, mm-hmm. especially, and this is what a lot of people don't get. And I was having this conversation, man, I think it was yesterday with someone talking about the difference between recording a podcast in studio with a guest that's sitting right next to you or right across from you across a table or whatever it may be, as compared to doing like what we're doing right now, mm-hmm. having these conversations online. And it's an entirely different dynamic. Yeah. You know, it's much easier to transition into a conversation when the other person is right there with you, because you have that opportunity to escape from the camera and escape from the lights and just engage with that guest. But to be able to create that, like we're creating right now, I think, and I'm tooting our own horns here, but I think we're doing an exceptional job of just having a conversation right now. And I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the fact that we know each other, IRL. But at the same time, you know, we're experienced in doing this. So having these conversations online is a little bit easier. But mm-hmm. by far, the hardest thing for me to do, or not anymore, but at first, when I first got started, was having that conversation by myself with the camera. And I felt so super, super cheesy looking at a camera and trying to have a conversation, because I'm like, this is so dumb. I sound like an idiot and I'm just mumbling and no one cares what I have to say. And I don't know what to say and I'm frozen solid. So one of the things that I did, and I think I've told this story before, I know I've told this story before, but I don't know if I have on the podcast, was, and I'm sure I have, because I have like 5 stories and I just recycle them for every
don't I can tell all of them.
But I used an event called NAPOD POMO, which is the National Podcast Posting Month. And you can go to napodpomo.org and join in on the fun this year if you want to. But what you do is you commit to podcasting every day for the month of November. And since I was already pretty comfortable podcasting, but very uncomfortable in front of a camera, I decided to kind of up the ante. And I decided to go live on Facebook every day for the month of November. I don't know, it was 3 or 4 years ago when I did this. And by the time the event was over, not only had I gone live every day, but I was loving it and I was comfortable. And I'd noticed that some people were starting to watch. Some people were starting to engage. And I ended up doing it for 6 or 7 months until I got distracted or got busy or what, squirrel. For some reason, I stopped, but it was what took me to the next level and allowed me to get comfortable in front of the camera. It was that repetition. It was that practice. And it was just sucking it up and doing it.
Yeah. Mm. One of the things that we all learned at the event we were at together, I remember, Larry, you reacted so extremely to this because you thought it was the coolest thing ever. Apps like Captions and CapCut, they both have a feature. I think they both do. I know Captions does. They both have a feature called teleprompter. And you can actually paste in basically a script and then turn your phone, like your screen, into a teleprompter. So instead of like looking down or anything, you're looking right at it. It's right at eye level and it doesn't look as much like you're reading. And yeah, we learned that from Brianna Day.
Yeah.
We learned that from Brianna Day in her AI presentation. And it was just really interesting because I'm the same way. Like, I can't just talk. I feel uncomfortable and I run out of things to say. So having something like that, it doesn't work so much in podcasting, but if you're just doing content creation, you want to make a reel or a social video, having something like that is going to be really helpful in making you feel a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah. That rocked my world too. I have not used the teleprompter, but I have used how she showed from AI to putting it into, CapCut, and then creating the templates inside of there. So I ate that up too, because so one of my famous to myself and my husband,
famous to those who matter.
Yes. Is like I said, I'm an internal processor and there's only so many words that will come out of my mouth at a time. So at the end of it, I will use the Forrest Gump quote and say, and that's all I got to say about that. So, and it's everything in me to not say it in the middle of recording a solo episode, because it feels like, well, that's all I got.
I've literally ended presentations at conferences. I know PodFest was one of them where I just said, yeah, I don't know how to end presentations. There you go.
Yeah, she uses it all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's funny because there's a guy that I watch all the time on YouTube. He's a movie critic. His channel's called The Critical Drinker because he's Irish and he drinks while he does these. At the end of every video, he goes, that's all I've got for now. Go away now. And that's how he ends it. He's like, that's all for now. Go away. You know, and that's how he ends every video. So if that's your signature, then by all means, just find your own little signature that feels comfortable to you and use it. And that goes back to the, you know, tapping into the heart of the content that you're creating. That makes it uniquely yours. There's no definitive way to wrap a podcast episode.
I love that encouragement to just speak it out loud.
Do it. The first time you do, send me it. I want to see it.
Okay.
It's just good. I feel like I can just see you just smiling to yourself while you say it, because it just feels so natural and so you, and it's going to be great. While we're here though, let's touch on a little bit, because we mentioned this a few times. It's like getting to the heart of it and knowing what you really want to talk about in the seasons of your life. Go a little bit into that so we can make sure that listeners really get to understand what it is that you're passionate about.
Yeah. So the backstory is my first podcast was called Holistic Hearts, which it really was an all-encompassing of my life and my faith, my fitness, my nutrition and family and marriage. And one of those broad stroke podcasts where I don't recommend at this point.
Kind of like readily random. Yeah.
What was that about?
But there was actually a lesson in that, is that I really think when we bring our whole hearts into our podcast, no matter how niched it can be, it really does make a difference. So in my coaching of podcasting is I really try to figure out what is the heartbeat of my podcasters and what is the heartbeat of the people that are going to be listening and impacted by what they share. So I'm all about what is the story that you bring to the table. And that could go for anybody who is a coach, a author, a ministry leader, a leader in the workplace. Like, you have a story. So we need to unpack that and make sure that we're bringing that into the conversation of your podcast, because people connect people people's stories connect each other to each other's heart, and that's where change can happen. And so that's really where the heart is in my own story of saying, okay, well, yes, I can talk about my faith, but part of my faith was the impact on my family and how that turned in. Like, I had to make sure I fought for my body and I fought for my mind and I encouraged my kids to do the same. And so there's always like a through line through it all. Like, we bring our whole selves into whatever we're doing. And so that's the heart of basically my content coaching to anybody who is podcasting is, okay, what's that through line? What are those values and the passions that you're bringing in your story?
I love that. And I think this is why you and I really connected when we met in Colorado, because most of what you just said is the premise of my book.
Yeah,
that is, those are things that I'm also really passionate about, is just finding that story, because so many people just think that they don't have one.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have, like we were talking about having the news and everything before, we live in a 24/7 news cycle. Mm-hmm. We're just constantly inundated with headlines. So if our story doesn't feel headline worthy, it doesn't feel like a story. But we don't need a headline worthy story. We just need a story that comes from our heart, is authentic, and has that ability to connect with other people, because that's where you're going to have that impact.
I love that, Sarah. I think too, part of my story was being hired by a good friend of mine, that celebrity couple. And what was fascinating in those 4 years of being their sole producer was that they kept inviting me into the conversation on air. And I'd be like, I am not famous. I do not have a famous last name. But they kept saying, but everybody wants to hear what you have to say. You're producer Kay. And it really taught me something, that very piece that you just said, that everybody has a story, even in the mundane everyday life, like whether you're a young mom with little kids or you are an executive at a company, you've got that story to share and everybody wants to hear that. So walking away from my first producer job after those 4 years and feeling empowered that, okay, I'm going to start my own podcast because I just heard for 4 years how important my voice was. And I actually I'm starting to believe that's true. And so that in itself, like, I love your open this book concept, and I can't wait to read it, Sarah.
Oh, yay. Thank you. I will send you a copy. But no, I love that. And shout out to that couple for getting you here, because we're happy that you've made it to where you're at. But no, it's so true. And when we talk about forming connections between people, the thing that really forms those connections is shared experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And when I hear a headline on the news, it's probably not something I've experienced. And while it might be like heartbreaking, it might be inspirational, it might be whatever it is, it doesn't have that connection that one of those just mundane everyday stories have, because I've been through the everyday. And so those little moments in our life that we can look back on and say like, oh, that actually changed something for me. And pulling the value of what you learned in that moment, that's how you're going to have that connection.
Yeah. And your story, Sarah, is one that is so needed for women, especially younger women entrepreneurs in the workplace. Like, I feel like you bring so much empowerment. Like, I don't know. I just think there's so much power in your story that's going to break open an area that a lot of people, especially young women who are successful, need to hear, because you are like, yeah, peace out. I am successful and I'm out.
No matter how old I am, Lisa.
Yeah.
Lisa's going to show up on every episode.
We have got to throw her under the bus every chance we get. I love it. This is great.
You made it into my book, Lisa. But no, I appreciate you saying that. And it's one of those things that, like, what you were saying before is your experience with imposter syndrome, basically. Mm-hmm. And we all feel that. And I mean, of course, as someone my age, I feel it every single day. And I worked in finance, which is very male dominant and very older. So of course I felt it that in that situation. But the way that I wrote my book, and it was a very conscious decision to do it this way, but it's borderline memoir. Because if I'm teaching you that your story matters and how to tell your story, I have to do it with my own stories. So getting past the imposter syndrome of, okay, it's one thing to write a book, but you really think people care about your life? And I really had to get past that, because maybe you don't care about my life, but there are moments in my life that I could teach you something from. So having to focus on that instead of just the, hey, I'm going to write a memoir at 28. Like, it was a really hard mental switch.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I have imposter syndrome too.
Larry, yeah. Sorry. We're not throwing men under the bus.
It has nothing to do with men. I feel like imposter syndrome is one of those few shared experiences that everybody has.
Absolutely.
Like, yeah. You can be a CEO, you can be like a student, you can be the president. Like, everybody is going to have that moment of, I do not belong here and I don't deserve to be where I am. And
I think the most shocking thing there though, Sarah, is we always set these goals and we go, if I make it here, oh, I'll fit in, I'll be there. Oh, nope, if I make it here, I'll be the cat dad. Oh, nope. If I make it here, and it never changes.
Yeah.
You know, you just started taking BJJ or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, right? So you're a white belt right now. And you've probably had the thought that, well, once I'm a black belt, I'll be able to whoop everybody. But as
I don't have any thought that I'll ever be a black belt.
But as someone that's been a black belt for over two decades in multiple martial arts systems, even when you hit that level, you still have that imposter syndrome. You go, oh, I might be a black belt, but I'm not that black belt, or I'm not that level, or I'm not this. And it's the same thing. I just went to Phoenix to a massive mastermind conference. And everybody there, not just in my personal opinion, it just factual, are light years beyond any success that I've experienced. So as I sat there at that conference, I'm like, man, I don't belong here. And I still give kudos to this one gentleman. We were going off on an excursion because this event has excursions every night. So we were all loading up on the bus to go to an excursion. And I was sitting in the back of the bus because that's where all the party kids sit, right? So he comes to the back of the bus, goes, Larry, come here. And I'm like, oh, crap, I think I'm in trouble, because I usually am when I get called out. But he took me to his seat and I sat down. And he goes, hey, man, you know, I was talking to a couple folks and you expressed the fact that you don't really feel like you fit here, or you don't know how to engage in this level of conversation. He goes, but let me tell you something. You wouldn't be here if you didn't. You would have never been invited to participate in this event for the third time if you didn't fit here, if you didn't bring some value to the table. So stop those limiting beliefs, get rid of that imposter syndrome, and understand this is an opportunity for growth. And I think if we were all able to step back and recognize that when we're feeling like imposters and we're feeling like we don't fit in and we're feeling like our story isn't enough, it's not that we don't fit in, it's not that we're not enough, it's that it's an opportunity for growth.
I'm glad it resonated when he said it, because I've been saying that for months, and you don't listen when
I
say
it. Yeah, but you're a girl, so I need.
Comes from a man voice.
You're 28, for Christ's sake. What do I know?
Oh, things are getting heated.
They usually do. So. But no, seriously, you know, it's a perfect opportunity for us to recognize that and take hold of it and continue that growth.
For anyone else, I mean, us three, obviously, but anyone else that does deal with that imposter syndrome regularly, there's a book called The Middle Finger Project. And I think it's by Ash Alberge or something. I don't really know how to say her name, but The Middle Finger Project is an amazing book that really focuses on how to break out of that imposter syndrome and, quote unquote, live the fuckwithable life that you deserve. We might have to bleep that. Random book recommendation. If you haven't read it, go check it out. And she does not sponsor us, though she's welcome to.
Yeah, I think that's so powerful. I just think there's so many opportunities of like breaking through the next imposter syndrome over and over again, like from the very beginning of saying yes to a podcast and getting comfortable with the mic. And then the next level is like you, Larry, when you sat down, you're like, well, now I'm going to do video. And then the next level is getting comfortable with that of, wow, I feel like an imposter showing up on screen and sharing whatever. And then the next level, speaking on stages, and then writing a book. And all of those are opportunities for us to grow and really sink into that identity of who we're called to be in this world.
Yeah. Well, Kristen, this has been an amazing conversation. We've covered a wide variety of topics, some topics we didn't intend to cover, but there's a lot of value here, and hopefully our audience found some value in it as well. Would you let everybody know where they can find you and reach out and make a connection?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you can find my podcast about podcasting, Podcast Coaching for Kingdom Entrepreneurs. And we are, we're going to have some amazing episodes coming up. So be sure to tune in there. And I'd just love to chat with you. Reach out to me on social media. Instagram is probably my favorite. So at Kristen Fields Chadwick, and just send me a message. Tell me that you heard the show. What'd you take away from our squirrel conversation? and just say hello. I'd love to meet you.
That's awesome. Awesome. Thank you so very much. Hey, everybody, if you did find some value, and I know you did find some value in this episode, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button so we can continue to bring you this amazing content each and every week. And with that, I'm Larry Roberts.
I'm Sarah Lacey. We'll talk to you next week.